Good morning, each one. What a blessing to be here again. We're just humbled as we consider the being able to gather like this and sing to our God and Father. Struck with the last verse in Psalm 34. Gather in the minds far straying, heal the instability. Help us, light and strength conveying, live true Christianity. O the head of faithful members, us receive, as such we pray. Bring again the strayed offenders to the joyous heavenly way. So yeah, that Jesus, life the fountain, can be my with my prayer this morning, that the name of Jesus could be lifted up, and that all of us, we could be drawn to Him. Brother Chris there talked about the new creation, and it was pointed out there in that last verse there, living true Christianity. Kind of gave me a little confirmation, maybe, in what I was wanting to share here. Not sure if I would have to say this, but I struggled after Moses asked me to share and what to share. And The term lukewarm just kept coming back to me, and I guess it's something I've been thinking about even in the recent past here. And so yeah, like I said, I don't know that I would have to share this, but it encourages me when brothers confess their faults one to another, that we can be healed. I think I see a little bit of lukewarmness maybe in my life, and I have some questions here that I don't know, have all the answers, but maybe we can help each other find the answers. Do I know if I am lukewarm? Or how do I know if I am lukewarm? Does that word scare me? Or bring alarm to my mind or my heart? What is the attitude in my heart about the thought in Revelation 5? I'll read that. Revelation 5, starting at verse 15. Because that's where we go, first of all, and we think of the word lukewarm. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'll just stop there. But so as I was saying, what are my thoughts there when I think of that? You know, the thought in where he talks to the church in Ephesus there about the candlestick being removed. Is my theology such as that could happen? Or do I walk humbly with my God? Those were some questions that I asked myself. So I'll read a few more verses here. Here in Revelation 5, 1 to 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I think that drawing back can start ever so small, maybe without our realizing it. A little pride, a little covetousness, an offense maybe, or being treated unjustly. The list could go on there. In this context here, in Revelation 5, it is about having all our physical needs taken care of and not seeing our desperate need of the grace of our God and our Father. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness within her and her daughters. And neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. In Luke 21, I was also going to say that before I go on here, last night the phrase the gift of true repentance was talked about. And it struck me again. In the past, I had looked at that a little bit about repentance as a gift from God. And so I just thought about that this morning. I think maybe lukewarmness would want to lend to the thought that I can repent eventually, or I don't think, or when I want to. I don't think this kind of mentality will come out right, were my thoughts. And so in Luke 21:34, it says, and take heed to yourself that at any time your hearts would be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day would come upon you unawares. And we sang that song this morning. I was touched about Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Paul made that comment that, and to all those that love is appearing. I can have the tendency maybe to see the word drunkenness in this passage and kind of skip over it. But what about the cares of this life? This points out, just to every area of our life, maybe struggles at work, unhappy customers that don't pay, things at home needing to be worked through. Can we see how the Lord wants to pour His grace into our life? To help us shine brightly through these times. But I have down here, but when I am lukewarm, I won't handle these situations the way that my Heavenly Father would want me to the way that properly represents that lovely heavenly kingdom. Maybe another way to say it would be to be laden with that heavenly fruit. Love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, and etc. Another thing about the cares of life, I thought of physical disabilities and sickness. I was diagnosed with about 30% hearing loss. So, and you see I'm wearing glasses. I'm getting older. I don't think I am, but if we, as I continue on here, and we want to look at maybe what is the opposite of lukewarm, and see. I also really appreciate how Brother Chris talked about God's law, and I felt like if we could get back. If we could get back to the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that would, seek that out. But let me go on here. I would appreciate it if you would tell me if I'm not saying this right, but I would like to think that the opposite of lukewarmness is to be filled with the love of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. And even though God is love is used wrongly, loosely, and even used as a byword, let us seek after with all of our hearts that true love that will change us and transform us and make a new creation. So I thought, well, let's go back and read. Maybe the modern idea of love won't take them to Leviticus, but Leviticus, I was just struck the profound law that I guess here it doesn't say to love the Lord thy God. It's in Deuteronomy 6. But it does say here in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And that phrase, I am the Lord, may that ring in our hearts and our minds. But I'll get to that one verse later. But in Deuteronomy 6, about loving our Creator with our whole being, it not only does it bring God honor and glory, but see, He knows what is best for us. And we are here in this little short span of time called a life. Yep. That took me to in 1 John, where perfect love casts out fear, as I think of these times that we're living in. I think we will find that perfect love will be the strongest force in our life, and really the strongest force in the universe. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then we could go on. I read Isaiah 53 at sacrificial love. That's where that true That's where that true love will take us. That sacrificial love that we read about in Isaiah 53. And so I don't have time to read all that. May this stir our hearts to seek that strongest force. I thought of this phrase. If I read it somewhere, to love the one I follow is to follow after the one I love, and that's the Lord Jesus. And then also the opposites of lukewarm could be the word fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I forgot to mark that verse down. I thought I would just close here, reading a beautiful picture here in Colossians 1. Paul's writing here of what was seen there in Colossae, and I would just pray that for my that testimony could be of myself and us as a church, starting at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day we heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. As I was studying here, I also thought of the verse in Daniel where the devil is going about seeking to wear down the saints. Let's not give in to those temptations, but cry out to the Lord. This was on the wall there where I was studying, and I thought this could be applied to a church, to a home. It was some meditations for a teacher. But I thought the last line, love would encompass all that. A teacher's meditation. Does school consist of pens and books, of paper, ink, and rows of books, hooks, or its walls with posters bright and windows tall to let in light? Could rows of desks with chairs to match, some gloves and bats with balls to catch, a teacher's desk of wood or steel be called a school, complete or real? Oh no, a school must have a heart. some students with a course to chart, young minds to learn the way of truth, young lives to mold while in their youth. A school must have a teacher too, to love and guide in pathways true, to teach his charges of God's way, math and English every day. Lord, grant me then your wisdom fair. Do keep me in your love and care, Lord, as you taught while here on earth. So teach true love and worth. So teach me true love and worth. I also thought of, I think again of the law of God, that I would take it more seriously to teach my young children to love God. Yes, I thought of it is optional in the world's eyes, but to the one that wants to spend eternity with his Savior, it's not optional. There's only one option. So may the Lord bless you all, and maybe we could have a little word of prayer. Father, we bow before you here, Lord, and worship you and honor you. Thank you, O God, for your love that you have given to us through the atoning precious blood of your Son. Thank you, Father. We are undeserving this morning, so we thank you. I do pray, Lord, now at this time that you would bless the remainder of the service, Father. Soften our hearts, Lord, to take in the engrafted word, that it would change us, make us more to the likeness of your Son. I pray for Brother Allen that you would give him grace, strength, whatever he needs, Lord, to properly represent the Most High God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.